Sally from finance loves fly fishing. She used to spend her weekend surrounded by receipts. Then she switched her company to Ramp. Now, spend is all under control, all in one place. Her team submits their expenses with a text, and she can close the books without all the busy work. So Sally's weekends are all her own, surrounded by fish, not receipts. Switch your business to ramp.com and love finance again.
Breaking news coming in from Bet365, and it's no surprise. Same game parlay from Bet365 just keeps getting better.
Well, it's even easier to make a bet. Choose from the most popular markets, like hits, run line, totals, and home runs. So many to choose from.
Download the app, start building your bet, and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Welcome to the Tool Shed, a podcast covering all levels of professional baseball to help give you the edge in your dynasty leagues. From the MLB draft all the way to the show, the Tool Shed podcast has you covered with rankings, player analysis, and in-depth discussion. And now, here's your host, Eric Cross.
Welcome into another episode of the Tool Shed Podcast, brought to you by Rotoballer. This is episode 398. Thank you for joining me. I'm your host, Eric Cross. You can find me on Twitter at EricCrossMLB, and the show is at Tool Shed Pod. I have a great guest in the Tool Shed with me today. He is a writer and podcaster over at FTN. Mr. Lucas Bieri joins me at LucasBieri33 on Blue Sky. Lucas, how you doing, man?
I'm doing great, Eric. Happy that you asked me on. Excited to be a new member of the New Look Tool Shed. You and Clegg did amazing work for a lot of years and lasted an incredibly long time and helped out a lot of dynasty and fantasy players for that matter, too. So with prospects and young players being such a big part of the game, if you don't have a good strategy surrounding that, even if you're an NFBC guy, let alone a dynasty manager, you better reevaluate things. So appreciate the work you guys did and excited to chip in a little bit tonight.
Yeah, no, thanks for coming on. Thank you for the kind words. And yeah, it's been fun doing this podcast the last 5 years and helping people out. And yeah, you said it really, you know, well, because even just people that are like strictly redraft leagues, like you got to at least know prospects a little bit because, hey, when they get called up, you got to know whether you want to bid on them or not and how much you want to bid on them, like how aggressive you should be or if you should avoid them. So, yeah, it's great how just in my, you know, time in this industry, I mean, prospects and dynasty were very, I won't say they were nothing back, you know, 8-9 years ago, but it was very small. That's kind of why I wanted to like kind of put some, at least some of my content into that sphere, just because I'm like, hey, this is kind of like an untapped market that I think could rise. And sure enough, now it's huge and a lot of prospect people out there, dynasty people, a lot of great ones. So it's been fun to be a part of this kind of corner of the fantasy baseball industry and doing this podcast, covering majors, minors, and everything in between. So it'll be good to chat with you today. And we get a fun topic here as we just went past the midway mark of the season. Kind of hard to believe we're already past the halfway mark. All-star breaks in, what, about 2 weeks from now? And we're getting into the, you know, end of the third full month of the season. So we're going to do a little bit of a mid-season dynasty buy-sell today. We got 10 players, 4 sells, 2 from each of us, and 6 buys, 3 from each of us. Very hitter heavy in this episode, but a couple pitchers sprinkled in as well. But before we get into that, the usual housekeeping. If you enjoyed the podcast, please rate and review on whatever platform you enjoy the podcast on. You can find all of my content on Rotoballer or over on my Patreon, which is toolshedfantasy.com. Make sure you check out Lucas's content as well over on FTN Fantasy. A lot of great content over there as well. And make sure you check out all of the great content on Rotoballer with Rotoballer's MLB Premium Pass. Gain access to expert tools and advice from proven winners. Import your leagues with TeamSync and get expert advice customized for your league-specific settings. Win more with Rotoballer's lineup assistant tools, free agent finder, prop picks, and the number one DFS lineup optimizer. Our premium pass comes with a 100% money-back guarantee. Go to rotoballer.com/radio and use the discount code TOOLSHED at checkout to get 10% off. All right, let's hop right into it, Lucas, here. We'll go with the sells here, I usually like to get the sells and all the negative stuff out of the way first and end the show on a positive note with our buys. So we'll start with your first sell. Who is that going to be?
Yeah, so as far as my first sell, I wanted to list off some names that might grab the audience's attention a little bit and not just name some easy names. So Trey Turner is going to be my sell. He's having a marvelous season this year for Roto Leagues with 11 home runs, 20 steals, nearly a .300 batting average. And he had shown some slippage in prior years, but he's having a big year this season, which is exactly why I think he's a good sell, because people might have thought the idea of getting rid of him before the season, and now that he's been so hot, they're going to be hesitant to do it. But that just means you'll be able to get a really good package for him. You know, this guy's been a proven Roto commodity for a long time, and he's one of the best fantasy players I've experienced in the last 10 years or so. But at the same time, he's getting up there in age. And in my mind, if you can't win your league or maybe finish top two, if you're more of that third place team or fighting for the money, I think you might want to look to get out from under him, just because I think you can get full value for him right now. And who knows how much longer that'll be the case given his age.
Yeah. You know, 31 years old now, he's been really tough for me. Whenever I whenever I start to like fade him a little bit in my rankings, or like, oh, now the decline's coming, he just kind of proves me wrong. He's like, he likes to make me eat my words a lot here. No, I've never like been like out the door on Turner by any means, but yeah, you'll have one of those that kind of bad a few months, start the season. You're like, all right, here's the start of the decline. You know, thanks for all your elite years. And he's just having another great year. Like you said, 11 home runs, 20 steals right now. You know, slashing is pretty usual. 296, 348, 456. That slash line is like eerily close to his career slash line. He actually has the exact average and OBP that he has for his career this year, and the slug is like 20 points under. So another great year, but you got to wonder, like, these kind of speed first guys, so he's obviously much more than a speed guy. You know, how does that, you know, age as he gets more into his mid 30s? So yeah, I think that's a good call there. If you're not, you know, contending this year or next year, if you think your window's like 2-3 plus years out, then yeah, he's not one that probably will be a part of your core of your rebuild for sure. Good call there. I'm going to go with a rookie here with Jacob Wilson. He fouled a ball off his, I think it was his knee earlier today. Hopefully he's all right, but you know, he's been obviously a phenomenal rookie and probably the, you know, most valuable fantasy rookie so far this season. It's a kind of a down rookie year after last year's phenomenal, a crazy good rookie class, especially in the National League. But, you know, Jacob Wilson, second in majors in average right now, only behind Aaron Judge, slashing .338, .380, .471, 42 runs, 9 home runs, 5 steals, and 40 RBI. So giving you a bit of everything, but that's kind of like where I'm not sure that continues, at least to that degree. You know, the power, I mean, that's been a huge talking point, because obviously Wilson is used, look at the quality of contact metrics, and they're not great. It's a 2.4% barrel rate. He has 7 barrels in the entire season. He's put 289 balls into play. 7 have been barrels. He has an 85.9 mile an hour average exit velocity, 26% hard hit rate. Those are all in the bottom 6% of hitters. But obviously, since he puts the ball in play so often, that he's just gonna, you know, naturally run into some home runs. And it's not like it's even like the Isak Paredes route where, you know, he gets to the pole side and lifts the ball a lot. Is he has a 54% ground ball rate and a below average pull rate and a below average pull air rate. So that's not even the case with him. He's put so many balls in play that there's some of them they're going to find a way over to the fence. And I don't think he's going to be like Luis Arraez in terms of power. There's a little more power there than Arraez has to pair with, you know, an elite 92% zone and 90% overall contact rate. And he barely ever strikes out. So like the average, I think, is legit. This guy's going to win. You know, I'd be shocked if he doesn't retire with multiple batting titles in his career. And he'll probably run into 10 to 13 home runs a year. I just don't think he's going to be a stud. I don't think he's going to be like a guy that's pushing 20 home runs with, you know, double digit steals. It's probably more like, you know, 11, 12 home runs and 7 or 8 steals. And there's still some value in that. But it's given, you know, whenever I tweet about shortstops for dynasty, and I didn't have him in my top 12 dynasty shortstops last month when I was tweeting about that, people were like, oh, that's a big mistake, not putting Wilson in there. And I get why they would say that, but that makes me think that the perceived value on him is a lot higher than I believe it should be. So It's all about that perceived value, as we said many, many times on this podcast over the years. So if you can get like a top 50-ish or even close to it, you know, return for Wilson, I still think he's outside of my top 100 overall. And maybe he'll make me eat my words on that. That could very well happen. But, yeah, I think the perceived value on him is a lot higher than it should be. So I would try to capitalize on that. Like, he's still going to be good. I just don't think he's going to be like great, super high impact, you know, core player on your dynasty team. So I'd use that perceived value and try to sell high on Jacob Wilson. Now, this next name you have here, Lucas, this is actually a name I thought was a little more spicy, per se. And that's Hunter Brown.
Yeah, so Turner, I can see most people would see his age coming up as far as selling him. But with Hunter Brown, and I think you kind of hit it a lot with Jacob Wilson, like Wilson has the 9 home runs on 7 barrels. As far as Jacob Wilson, he has 9 home runs, and he has 2 more home runs projected for him using the Bat X. So, like, the projections are saying he's very lucky. And I don't think that Brown's been what I would call lucky, but every single projection system is kind of saying that he's standing on top of his head a little bit. So I think that what you would do now if you were to move him is, not only are you divesting away from a pitcher who we've seen those guys obviously get hurt a lot, but I think he's, I don't want to say a blank check, but I think you can get a lot for him. And I think he's going to come back down to earth a little bit just based on his left on base rate being at 90% almost, and his BABIP being so low. Now, I do think he's gotten better. He's added more velocity and he's more dominant as far as strikeouts minus walks, but I don't see him as one of the upper pitchers in dynasty. I think he's a very good pitcher, probably an SP1 for somebody out there. That's how good he is. He's a top 10, top 15 guy, but I just think that his stats are way above his true talent. And I think that you can sell him for more than he's worth, in my mind.
Yeah, I think with Brown, I think the perceived value is probably top 5 dynasty right now. I mean, obviously top 2 for everybody in some order are Skubal and Skeens. Then after that, you know, it's probably, you know, Garrett Crochet's in that tier, you know, Logan Gilbert's in that tier. Some still have Spencer Strider in that tier. He's kind of a controversial one right now and kind of hard to value, but I think a lot would have Hunter Brown in that second tier right now, and it's easy to see why with how phenomenal he's been. I mean, after, what was it, the first 7, 8, 9 starts last year were just absolutely terrible in ERA. I think it was around 9 as you got into, like, mid-May, and then just, you know, flipped the switch, and all of a sudden he became, you know, sub-3 ERA the rest of the way, and then it's gotten even better this year. The fact that he finished last year with a 3.49 ERA after having an ERA, again, close to 9, through the first, you know, 6, 7 weeks of the season, that shows how good he was the rest of the way. But yeah, I mean, if you're not fully buying in on, you know, Brown being like a top 5 guy, then yeah, I think it's not a bad idea to sell. I actually have I'm more confident in Brown personally. I do think he does a great job at limiting hard contact, on top of, you know, missing bats and getting ground balls. So, you know, maybe he's not going to join that top tier, but, you know, I personally, you know, I'm a big Brown guy for the most part. I don't have any shares, unfortunately, which I did. But, yeah, he's definitely one that's been phenomenal. So, yeah, if you're like Lucas and don't quite believe in him as being that top 5 guy, you probably can get a top 5 price tag for him sure right now.
Absolutely. But, yeah, we don't disagree much on him. I think he's more in that top 12, maybe top 15. But, yeah, he's obviously very good. I just think if you had any hesitation, you can sell on him now and you can make a ton back.
And then Houston's like needed him to step up. Yeah. Like, it's him and Framber have been really just carrying that rotation. And now they're mixing in Colton Gordon, Brandon Walter, and Lance McCullers Jr. As the 3, 4, 5 in that, because you got Eric Geddes on the IL, JP France, Luis Garcia, Christian Javier, Hayden Wesneski. You know, 4 of those 5 guys I just mentioned had Tommy John surgery. So the other one had, France had, capsule tears. Like, all these guys are out for the year. I mean, Eric Geddes will be back at some point, probably July or maybe even August from his fractured thumb. But yeah, all these other guys are done for the year. And they don't really have a ton of names that are like knocking on. They don't have a Bubba Chandler, Andrew Painter, or anybody like that knocking on the door in AAA. So yeah, they're riding the Framber and Brown train pretty hard, because McCullers is the shelf himself at this point. And Walter and Colton Gordon, I just don't think are that good. So They've needed Hunter Brown to be dominant to, you know, keep them, you know, as being the contender out there in the AL West. So they probably need him to keep going. They probably don't want him to fall off, that's for sure. my second guy here is Byron Buxton, who is just having an absolutely phenomenal year. And I hated doing this. I was trying to find somebody else to have as my second sell here, but he did make sense. Now, he's having an absolutely phenomenal season. 19 home runs, 15 steals, 53 runs scored, and 51 RBI in 286 plate appearances with a 283, 355, 71 slash line. I mean, you could make an argument that this is, you know, so far, like, you know, pound for pound, game for game, the best season of his career. Yeah, I think you could make a really strong argument for that. I mean, that 2021 year, he had 19 home runs and 9 steals in 61 games, hit 306. That's in the discussion too. But again, he only played 61 games that year. He's already missed a little bit of time. He's missed like 16, 17 games this year. But it looks like this could be his first year over 120 games played since 2017, which is just crazy to think about. I mean, that was the year I got into this industry. Then that was the last year. That, yeah, 2017 is my first year at Fantrax before that season started. And that was the last season that he had over 105 games played. He's had over 100 games played twice. And I'm kind of like leading myself into why I'm selling him. You know, I love Byron Buxton. I think he is one of the most exciting players in the game. I mean, the power, the speed, the athleticism. And I personally just love a center fielder that can just go get it. I mean, I've had a lot of those in Boston, have a high appreciation for it. And so I love that he can just go get it. But that's the problem, is that he's only played 100 games in his career twice. Yeah, one of those was last year. Maybe this year's a third, but, and I hope I'm wrong. I want him to stay healthy personally. Like, I just want him to stay healthy and just have a really big year. But, you know, the odds are just against him. The track record speaks for itself. I mean, his third highest games play total is 92. This is a guy that's been in the league for 11 years. We're talking about a guy that's been in the league for 5 years, and a couple of those have been injury prone. This has been 11 years. He debuted back in 2015. So he's been over 400 plate appearances once, and that was that 2017 season. His second most plate appearances was last year, 388. So while he might give you a good per game, rate, or like, oh, the pace right now is what, 36, 37 home runs, 28, 29 steals, around 100 runs in RBI. But will he get there? That's always the question with him. And the fact that he's no spring chicken anymore, he's 31. I mean, that's not terribly old, but, you know, he's not 24, 25 anymore either. So I'd probably try to use this to capitalize on just the great production so far. And again, I hope I'm wrong. I hope he does not get injured. But I just, you know, you got to play the law of averages here. And the fact is that he gets injured a lot. It sucks. But that's kind of the thing with Minnesota. They have a lot of talent, but a lot of injuries up there, both on pitching and hitting side. So I would personally, if I had Buxton, I don't have any shares of Buxton because I've kind of stayed away because of the injuries. But if I did, I'd at least be putting feelers out there. I'm not saying get him off your team at all costs. And if you want to ride out the hot streak, you know, fine. But I'd at least, you know, throw him on the block, throw a message out to your league, you know, whatever you got to do, be like, hey, you know, Buxton's available. Let's just see what you get. You might get a pretty good offer in return, especially with how good he has been right now.
Assuming next year, and this is a big assumption, I mean, I don't know how many games you would even project for him. If you want to say 100 games, 110 games, and that's given him a lot of credit, so I get that. But what do you think he could potentially be projected for in that time span of, let's say, 100 games next season?
Projections, if he plays 100 games, probably like, mid-20s home runs, upper teen steal, maybe even low 20s steals, something like 25, 18, something like that. Again, I would a full season of Buxton. I mean, he has the skills to go like 40-30.
Yeah.
I mean, he does. He's been on that pace before, and the steal has kind of trickled down lately, but back up this season. This has actually been the most he's ever run in, really, since before COVID season. Like, he had 14 steals back in 2019, and then 2020 only 2, and then 9, 6, 9, 7. Again, not ton of games played, but still not super high stolen base paces there either. So, but he's already been caught 12 times his entire career, in 120 attempts. That's a 90%. That's
ridiculous.
90% on the dot success rates. And this year he's 15 for 15. If you look at the last, if you add the last 4 years, like last year was 7 for 9, then 9 for 9, 6 for 6, 9 for 10. The dude just, obviously is one of the best athletes in the game. I wish he could stay on the field and not just run into the wall every now and then, or, die for a ball and, throw his shoulder out or whatever it's going to be. So, yeah, unfortunately, I don't want to do it, but I think it's a smart idea to at least, float him out there, see what you can get for an offer here. So the four sells: Trey Turner, Jacob Wilson, Hunter Brown, and Byron Buxton.
You have 5 new messages.
Hey, Carl, it's Jen from Finance. Could you submit your expenses this week?
Hey, Carl, happy Friday. It's Jen, Finance. Just need those receipts today.
Me again, Carl. Really need those receipts, like last week.
Please just tell me where they are. Are you by your desk right now?
Finance teams, you shouldn't be chasing down Carl or anyone else. With Ramp, expenses are sent with a text and reminders happen automatically. Switch your business to ramp.com today and love finance again.
Breaking news coming in from Bet365, and it's no surprise. Same game parlay from Bet365 just keeps getting better.
Well, it's even easier to make a bet. Choose from the most popular markets like hits, run line, totals, and home runs. So many to choose from.
Download the app, start building your bet, and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
You have 5 new messages.
Hey, Carl, it's Jen from Finance. Could you submit your expenses this week?
Hey, Carl, happy Friday. It's Jen, Finance. Just need those receipts today.
Me again, Carl. Really need those receipts, like last week.
Please just tell me where they are. Are you by your desk right now?
Finance teams, you shouldn't be chasing down Carl or anyone else. With Ramp, expenses are sent with a text and reminders happen automatically. Switch your business to ramp.com today and love finance again.
Let's kick it over to the buys now, a little bit more positive here. And Lucas is going with, one of the top rookies from last year who's missed a little bit of time this year.
Yeah, I went with Colton Cowser, and it seems like there's a bit of a stink over the Baltimore organization. A lot of people think that they've entirely botched almost every one of their prospects, which I don't find to be true. Yeah, there's certain ones I think that they could have done a better job, but Cowser has been a major hit for their org in my mind. And kind of like you were saying with Buxton, like, I feel like the buy low and sell high doesn't always have to happen in the trade. It can happen in the draft day. So next year, I don't think Cowser is going to be a huge buzz guy, but he could potentially hit you 25, maybe even 30 home runs in an amazing season. I steal double digit bases because he potentially sits against lefties sometimes, not all the time. I think that he gets unfairly labeled as a platoon guy, but realistically, he's a 24-year-old batter with a 12%+ barrel rate and the ability to fill it up in all categories. So I think he's a guy that contending team or rebuilding team would be happy to grab.
Yeah, I mean, I think people forget, with how many, great rookies we had in the NL last year, Merrill and Cherio and Skeens, Schwellenbach, Imanaga, he was phenomenal National League. He had a pretty good year in the AL. Mm-hmm. He had 24 home runs, 9 steals, and 561 plate appearances. Give him another 100 more to get him up to that, 650, 660 area. He might have even gone 30 and 12 or 13, something like that, with around 90 runs scored. And you mentioned the quality of contact is good. Yeah, K rate's a little high. That's always been kind of a little bit of a concern for him, contact skills. Maybe he's more of like a 250 guy, but 250, 25, double-digit steals, that's still pretty damn solid there. And I think this injury, and in fact, he's only played 99 plate appearances this year so far, it's definitely caused that value and probably the price tag to drop a good bit. So, yeah, I like this call a lot with Colton Cowser. And, not a lot's gone right in Baltimore, but there's still a lot of good young players on that team. But we'll see if they trade any of them. Maybe they will chip off a Mayo or something. I think there'll be an interesting trade deadline for Baltimore, but yeah, I still believe in Cowser. Kierstad's the one on that team I'm a bit more concerned with right now, even though I still like Kierstad a little bit, but he just hasn't panned out. Maybe it's the inconsistent playing time getting at him, but yeah, definitely I'm not like super concerned with Cowser. Again, maybe he's not a super high average guy, but he'll give you that power, solid speed as well. I think he's a good buyer now. He's still only 25 years old too, so still pretty young there. I'm going to go to the National League East for my first one with Augustin Ramirez, who I think has been just quietly having a really good rookie season that's not really getting talked about enough. I mean, he already has 12 home runs in his first 248 plate appearances, 255, 302, 485 slash line. I mean, this guy's he's a bit aggressive, doesn't walk too much. He's got a higher swing rate, you know, higher chase rate, but not like terrible. Only a 33% chase rate, only walks 6% of the time. But both the quality of contact and the contact in general are above average. I mean, he's running a 11.4% barrel rate, 91.8 mile an hour average exit velocity, has a max of 117, and a 48.5% hard hit rate. And he's only striking out 18.5% of the time, with an 86% zone and 77% overall contact rate. So, I mean, everything I just listed is better than league average by, you know, several percentage points. His zone is about 4% better than league average overall, but 2% better. Barrel rate's 4% better, you know, et cetera, et cetera. So, you know, given how the catcher position is kind of in flux right now, I mean, I wrote today in my article that Cal Raleigh's been not just head and shoulders, but head, shoulders, knees, and toes ahead of every other catcher this year. To the fact that Adley's been struggling, Yiner Diaz been struggling, Salvi's falling off. It's like all the guys that were supposed to be up there with Cal, for the most part, have had, you know, Will Smith's been pretty good. It's been like him and Hunter Goodman are kind of like that 2-3 right now. So I think you can see a pretty solid, like, change of the guard, so to speak, at the top of that catcher spot. It's like that top tier or two where, you know, Raleigh's number one easily, but William Contreras, another one, he's kind of fallen off this year too. So,
yeah,
you know, I don't think it's crazy to think that guys like, you know, Ramirez, you know, even Drake Baldwin, who I almost put here, who I think could really see a value jump if they trade Sean Murphy, which they've kind of been rumored to be considering as Atlanta's kind of fallen out of it. I like Drake Baldwin a lot. His metrics are all pretty good. So I think you can see a few of these younger catchers kind of get up in that mix, and maybe they're not the new Adley and the new Yainer, but there could be definitely in that discussion and in the same tier. So I think you can see a bit of a shuffling at the top of catcher rankings. I think Ramirez has the skills to be a top five catcher long term. I think he's a 30 homer bat. I think he can hit you 250 plus, even, you know, maybe 260, 270. You know, I wouldn't be surprised, you know, if you said 3 years from now that Ramirez is the number two catcher behind Raleigh, I wouldn't be surprised about that. I think there's definitely a possibility here for Ramirez. I like him a lot, always have, ever since I saw him in Double A. I was like, the bat is legit, and he's kind of proven that so far. 23 years old, love Augustin Ramirez. So he is my first buy here, and we'll just keep it right there on the Miami Marlins for Lucas's second guy, Otto Lopez.
Yeah, I wonder if that one surprised you a little bit just because he's not a big name, but man, he's been hot this weekend. Two home runs.
He's been solid, man. He's been sneaky good. Yeah.
In like a 20 team league this offseason, I was able to pick him up for like a mid round draft pick just because people love draft picks so much. And he had playing time, so I figured why not give it a chance? And, you know, that's the thing. Sometimes these guys, even if they're not a big name, they can just get more playing time and learn on the job and get better.
Yeah.
His barrel rates went up 3% from 5% in 2024 to 8% now. And with a guy who barely strikes out and having an 8% barrel rate, going to give you some home runs, and he steals bags. He even became their primary shortstop over Xavier Edwards. So the organization at least thinks he's worth a little bit of something right now, even though they are kind of rebuilding. But yeah, I think Otto Lopez is kind of one of those guys that could be like a 15-15 guy, and you get him pretty dang cheap just because he doesn't have any brand name.
Yeah, I mean, he's, again, sneaky good. Like, last year was 6 home runs, 20 steals. This year, 8 and 9. I mean, he's on, if you give him, like, that magical 650 plate appearance pace, he's on pace for right around 2020. I mean, even without 650 plate appearances, he could go, like, 15, 18 this year or something like that. It's kind of the pace he's on. Yeah, not like a huge power guy, but the power is actually close to league average, you know, in a lot of regards. Doesn't strike out a lot, you know, good contact hitter. Yeah, good 90% zone contact, 80% overall. Yeah, I mean, I think he's far from flashy, but 26 years old, you know, good skill set there. Yeah, I think he could be a sneaky, like, you know, 13, 14 homer guy, you know, maybe around 18 to 20 steals, solid average, decent OBP. Yeah, I think Otto Lopez has slept on. And I love that you mentioned that you traded the, you know, it's like a mid-round draft pick for him. Those trades are like really, you know, important to success in dynasty leagues, because, you know, if you trade like a third round FYPD, like in like a 20 teamer, you're talking about a guy that's going to be what, draft pick number 50 or something like that. Mm-hmm. For the most part, those picks don't end up really turning into anything. But, you know, sometimes they do, but most time they don't. Then Otto Lopez, yeah, he might not have the upside, but he's something that helps you right now. You know, gives you that flexibility and that production right now. So I think that's a real, you know, sneaky good, you know, kind of trade to make in dynasty leagues that kind of helps keep you, you know, in contention year in, year out. It's not the buzzy deal. You're not acquiring a future young stud, but you're acquiring guys that'll help you win. As I've said time and time again, like, winning doesn't always have to be sexy. You know, it's these types of deals that help you out too. They really are. So I love that you made a move like that.
And you know what I've realized, like, some of my friends that I talk dynasty with, they'll go for the Andy Azokars and the guys that are years and years away. That's where you find your Sebastian Walcotts and your Luis Peñas of the world. And that's good that some people can do that. But for me, I kind of almost prefer to go for like the Isaac Collins types, where, listen, I'm going to get information of if this guy's going to be any good or not, hopefully within a month or two, three, 4 months, give him a year. And sometimes you'll be able to find a Spencer Steer type who wasn't a big name. Or you'll be able to, you know, pick up, you know, a Kyle Stowers last year whenever he got. So sometimes going for those mid 20s guys who aren't a big name, you'll get instant information and you'll be able to move off them and try to kind of find the next one, versus you will have a lot more star upside going for those international young kids. But for me, I just like getting the instant info so I can make some more moves.
Yeah, no, that's great. Yeah, that's definitely a winning strategy right there, and that's why I like the younger upside guys, and I think it's, you know, an important part as well. But I like to sprinkle them in more than like hoard them. You know, that's why I hate trading. You know, like I have a dynasty team right now that I'm looking to rebuild on. Everything's last year, this team actually finished third. This year, it's like everything's gone wrong production wise. I've Gunnar Henderson; he's fallen off. I have a lot of injuries, so I've kind of been looking to do a little mini rebuild here and trying to trade some of my older guys, you know, like my Seth Lugos of the world and stuff like that. And I'm getting a lot of like, oh, I'll give you this 17-year-old guy.
Yep.
I don't want a ton of those. I think it's good to have, you know, a few of them, sprinkle them in, especially in your deeper formats where you can kind of churn and burn those guys. But, you know, that's why I've always said, you know, I use the analogy from Shrek when he's like, you know, ogres are like onions. And, you know, ogres have layers. I think your dynasty team should also have layers.
Yeah.
Where it's like, all right, you got your win now guys, you got your win soon guys, those like double A, triple A guys that are going to be up this year, early next year. And then you have, you know, the other layer of the win later guys that will become your win soon guys soon enough. So, I don't like to have too many of those guys, but, you know, these Otto Lopez types get often overlooked. So, I think that's a great call there. My next guy here, I'm going with old pal Matty McClain. I love me some Matt McClain. You know, been high on him since he was a prospect. Saw him last year out in the AFL. I've seen him 2 years now in the AFL, and he was, as advertised, you know, last year, was one of the best hitters out there, as he should be, as a guy that played in the major leagues,
right,
in 2023. but obviously, after missing 2024, it was a, you know, pretty slow start for McClain. But he's picked it up lately over the last few weeks. Last 15 games, two doubles, two home runs, 302, 383, 453 slash line. Again, small sample size, but hey, you'll take it. When he was entering the streak with a 180, 278, 307 slash line. But, you know, a lot of his metrics are pretty in line with that 2023 rookie season. Barrel rates dropped a few percentage points, but average EV is nearly identical. Our hit rate's barely below. K rate's about the same. Walk rate's actually up 2.5%, which is nice to see. And he's actually improved his zone contact by 2% and his overall by 1.5%, with still having a better than league average chase rate. And, you know, maybe, you know, a lot of us, you know, myself included, pushed him too high in dynasty rankings. You know, I had him like top 50 at one point, but I still think there's a pretty good fantasy player here. I mean, the power is, you know, not great, but it's good enough when you factor in the home ballpark he plays at, you know, where he can still be a 20, you know, low 20s homer guy. I mean, even this year, he's on near 20-20 pace this year, even through the struggles. So he's at nine home runs and 11 steals right now. He's a 93rd percentile runner. And, you know, there's not really a lot of other players like looking to take his spot there in Cincinnati. So I think he's a great buy right now because I still think the upside is there to be like a top 100 guy long term, maybe even like top 75 guy that even maybe pushes top 50 again. And he's still only 25 years old. Great ballpark, you know, a fun young lineup that should only get better over the next couple of years. And so, yeah, and especially with how in flux, we talk about the catcher's spot being in flux. Second base has been god awful this year. I mean, Christian Campbell kind of floundered after a hot start. Ketel Marte was injured. Ozzy forgot how to hit. You know, a lot of these guys are just injured and or just not performing well. So I think, you know, getting a guy like Matt McClain on a buy low while his value might be the lowest it's ever going to be again, I think it's a good, I think you can get him for like more like a top 150 to 200 price tag right now. And I think his long-term potential impact is still a lot higher than that. So I like Matt McClain a lot, always have, and I'll be looking to buy low right now wherever I can.
Yeah, I with this one, I mean, like you said, he's on a 2020 pace, so you've got to give him a ton of credit for that. His quality of contact's fairly similar. His plate discipline's fairly similar. And this guy's coming off of a full loss season with a shoulder issue, and he doesn't have a ton of reps where he can afford to lose that and come back perfect. So, you know, towards the end of the season, if he's looking hot, I think that you're going to feel great going into 2026 with him. And one other thing, Eric, and I'm sure you've seen this in your trade talks, whether guys like Hunter Brown and he's outperforming, or guys like Luis Robert or Matt McClain and his stats are below what they should be, like, you're going to be able to get a discount because he has a 637 OPS, whether that's right or wrong.
Yeah.
I mean, the Bat X gives him 35 points of WRC plus better moving forward. So, I mean, he's going to get a lot better, and you'll be able to get him at a discounted rate because people are going to look at those surface stats, even though we all know better. They just do it.
Yep. That's just how it always goes. And yeah, you use that to your advantage. Use that OPS. People love them some OPS. And
you don't even need to say it. They'll just know in their head, oh, this guy's killed me this year. Well, yeah. It doesn't mean he's going to kill you in the future, but people react that way. I've seen it many times.
Right. It's very much a what have you done for me lately?
Yep.
You know, mindset. And, you know, whether that be right or wrong, you know, usually that's, you know, it can be right, but usually it's wrong, especially in this line of thinking. So, yeah, I think McClain is a great,
agreed,
you know, low cost value buy right now. All right. Last guy for each of us here. This next guy for Lucas is a guy that I liked a lot, you know, coming into the season. He was one of my favorite targets because his ADP, I think, was like around 300, if I recall correctly. He's having a pretty solid year, and that's Trevor Larnach. So why do you like Trevor Larnach here as a buy in Dynasty, Lucas?
Yeah, so I think because people have been hearing about him for a long time, and he has not necessarily done what they expected, but I feel like he's been getting better over the years. He's becoming a better hitter, lowering his strikeout rate, and just producing more of late. He's not even really sitting against left-handed pitchers either. And when you're seeing a guy like this, usually you see the opposite, where you'll see a hit tool guy who adds power. Larnach is more of that power guy that gets better on the hit tool side. So I just think that even though he's age 28, I think that he has room to grow as a batter because he has not been full-time really until this season. And he does sit against some lefties, but I just think he's going to be an affordable guy. Even if you're a rebuilding team, he's only 28. So he's nothing really like Kyle Schwarber, but kind of part of me sees some Schwarber in him, where he can be like that 240, 250 batting average guy with the 25 home runs. And I think you can get him at a pretty good discount.
I mean, it feels like Larnach should be like 33 now, because he was in that 2018 draft class. And I remember without even looking, because that was the first year I started, you know, putting out FYPD rankings, was that 2018 class. Let's see who else. That was Nolan Gorman was in that class. Casey Mize was in that class. You know, I'm, you know, for several other I could think of if you gave me a minute, but I just remember him being in that class, and that feels like so freaking long ago. I mean, it kind of was it
JJ Bleda in there as well?
Oh, Bleda was in that class. Yeah, he went I think pick six to the Marlins, if I recall correctly, before going over to the Athletics. But actually, you know what, I'm gonna pull up now.
No, he was in the next year actually.
Oh, was he in 19?
Yeah, he was.
Oh, he was in 19. Okay, sometimes they do blend together, but
I think we were thinking of a Baum, Madrigal, Joey Bart.
Oh, India, Joey Bart, yeah.
Kelnick, your favorite player. Kelnick.
Oh, that was actually
and yet a lot of these guys. A lot of these guys are just now kind of somewhat coming into their own. Whether it's Casey Mize, Joey Bart, there was another one, Larnick. We just listed. I mean, Liberatore was in that class. He's just now coming into his own.
I was super high on Liberatore too back then. I've definitely cooled on him. Logan Gilbert was in that class, but he was
takes a long time for these guys to come through. JT Jen was in the back half of that first. Like, that's the thing. Like, you have to have so much patience. You might cut this guy. He takes 2-3 years of up and down, and then another manager picks him up off waivers, and he does well. That's what might happen with McCarthy of the Diamondbacks. He was dropped in all my leagues. He's going to be fabbed this year or this weekend. And that's the thing. You just need to be on the musical chair at the right moment, whether you've had this guy for 5 years or you've had him for 5 minutes.
Yep. Yeah. I threw in some bids in McCarthy as well.
Yep.
I mean, it's currently about 45 minutes until the first set of fab runs here on NFBC. It's about 9:15 right now on the East Coast. So we'll see if I get him. I got to wait till after this podcast to figure that out. But this draft class was like G-Rod was in this draft class. This was a funny one, though, because I had two top 10 picks that never played in the minor leagues. Carter Stewart to the Braves. He didn't sign. I think he's over in Japan now or Korea, if I recall correctly. And then Kyler Murray, who is, that quarterback fella for the Arizona Cardinals. He went to the Athletics and never signed. So not really a great draft class, though. But, you had Bohm, Gilbert, Matty McClain was in this draft class as well. McClanahan, Parker Meadows, Josiah. Oh, Cal Raleigh, big dumper, was in this draft class. There you go. And that makes it all better. He was a 90th overall pick. Right behind Tristan Pompey and Adam Klopfenstein. It was a name I freaking loved. I love Klopfenstein. he didn't pick. Oh, Jeremy Pena was 102 in this draft. There you go. All right.
McClain was in it as well, but I don't think he went because I think he went back to school potentially. I'd have to check into that, though.
Yeah, that was at high school. Yeah, and he ended up going to UCLA.
Okay, that makes a ton of sense.
And getting drafted 2 years later, I believe it was, or 3 years later. I forget, but Casey Mize, Joey Bart. Yeah, Joey Bart. I love Joey Bart. He did not pan out. I guess I stopped going after Georgia Tech catchers. That's like a weakness of mine. But anyway, all right, one more player here. I'm going back to my three guys from Miami in this episode.
Oh, yeah.
Who would have thunk it? But Yuri Perez is my last guy here. I mean, he's been back for four starts after missing all of 2024 and hasn't been great. 6.19 ERA, 1.50 whip. I don't care. I literally do not care about those numbers whatsoever. What I do care about is the fact that he was a 20-year-old rookie back in 2023 who had a 3.15 ERA, a 1.13 whip, a K-minus walk rate over 20%, and three pitches with a whiff rate above 45%. That's like, that's Blake Snell right there. Like, those are numbers that you don't see from anybody but guys like Blake Snell. He had a 47.7% whiff rate on his slider, 54.3% on the curve, and 46.2% on the changeup. And he throws in four different velocity bands. Fastball is in the upper 90s, and he's actually gotten more velocity since coming back. He's 98.2 now. It was 97.5 back then. You get the slider, around 85, 86. You get the curveball in the low 80s, changeup in the upper 80s. He's even had a little bit of a sinker this year. He's only thrown it 14 times, so still very small sample size on that. Too early to get any sort of read on it, but even adding in a sinker here and a couple ticks lower than this four-seamer, I mean, I fully believe in the Yuri Perez we saw back then. This year, I was just happy to see him back. I'm not expecting, that dominant rookie year to magically come right back. It's going to take some time, and it's just natural for anybody, especially a guy that's still only 22 years old. But I think the upside for Yuri Perez that he showed in the minors, that he showed in that rookie year, is a guy that could join that top tier. I mean, we could be talking about him in the same tier as Skeens and Skubal. I think that's how good he is. I mean, those guys don't even have three pitchers with a 45% whiff rate, let alone doing it at age 20. So the upside here is through the roof. I think that as he progresses this year and he gets more innings under his belt, I think you'll see that 6.19 ERA and 1.5 whip come down. But you know, I think next year it'll be all right. Let's, you know, the reins are off and we're back to seeing, you know, a dominant Yuri Perez. So maybe this year he won't give you a super high impact, but I still think the long-term upside here can only be matched by, you know, I can count these guys on one hand in baseball right now. He can get right up there with Crochet, with Gilbert, with Brown, these guys, Skeen, Skubal. I think he's that good. So, you know, his price tag might never be lower than it is now. I mean, yeah, it was low when he was injured, but like he's come back and, you know, his ERA is a little high. Maybe use that to your advantage. I still think it's going to be a phenomenal pitcher long-term and maybe a guy that you can build your fantasy rotation around for years to come. Again, he's still only 22 years old, even though he debuted 3 years ago at this point. So
I got two quick questions on yeah. him. If you were a rebuilding team and had Hunter Brown and you had a chance to target Yuri Perez and another player, I mean, what kind of secondary piece would you have to do for you to get it? Are you looking for two additional players, whether it's, you know, a couple more bats with Perez to make that trade to get off of Hunter Brown? Just curious what your thoughts are there to kind of tie in a few players.
Yeah, no, if I'm trading a guy like Hunter Brown, like, I hate doing, you know, more than two for ones personally. Mm-hmm. Maybe a three for one if I think the value is really good, but you know, that's even tough. And then four for one, five for one, get out of here. Don't even approach me with something like that. Because usually it's like, oh, quantity over quality. Like, no, that's, I hate those.
Here's my five cuts that I'm going to make.
Yeah, exactly. And I'm like, no, it's like the mock trade you see this time of year on social media. Like, oh, hey, the Pirates will trade Skeens for a bucket of balls and, you know, this one prospect. I'm like, no, stop it. So with Brown, if I was going for Brown, giving him up for Yuri in a second piece. So right now I have Brown in I think the 30s, Yuri's in like the 60s or 70s right now in my dynasty rankings. I want at least another top 100 prospect.
Yeah.
And then that should be top 100 overall player back. So, you know, if I was looking at, let me just pull up so I can give some actual names here. Let me pull up my dynasty rankings because I probably want someone that's not super far away. So I won't be looking at like a, you know, Jesus Madé or anything like that. But, you know, if I were to get, let's see, you know, Yuri Perez and something like a, you know, maybe a buy low on like a Christian Campbell there would be fun. Maybe even, I think you can get more than a Matt McClain at this point. Maybe throw in like a, you know, Andy Pajas, Jonathan Aranda. That'd be kind of like the lowest I'd be looking to go. Those are like back end top 100 guys for me. But yeah, I'd be looking for at least, you know, another top 100 guy here with Perez. Or if I was to go prospect, I'd want, you know, a Connor Griffin type of prospect, a Leo DeVries type of prospect, you know, guy that's, you know, top five overall prospect. So that's actually not a bad deal to make. If you're looking to get someone that you think could be like Perez could be just as good or better than Brown, that's no slight to Brown, but I think Perez's upside is even a bit higher. And that's, I think, speaks volumes to what I think about Yuri Perez. And if you can get a good second piece that can become a, you know, high impact player for you, I would love to do that. So, yeah, I think that was a good thought process right there, Lucas.
I'm curious, you know, so where you have Yuri Perez in the pecking order, how would you compare an Andrew Painter and a Bubba Chandler as far as that status for Dynasty moving forward? I know we haven't seen those guys pitch at the big league level yet, but I'm just curious where you're at just so the viewers can understand the differences.
Yeah, so I have, if we kind of break it down into tiers, you know, right now I have Skeen, Skubal, tier one, and a lot of those names I mentioned, like Crochet, Brown, Gilbert, Hunter Green is tier two, you know, Schwellenbach in there too. So Yuri Perez is kind of like in tier three right now, which is kind of a weird tier because there's a lot of the older guys like Wheeler, Pablo Lopez, Joe Ryan, Michael King. So he's kind of like the odd man in that grouping. But guys like Painter and Chandler are another tier or two down for me right now. Like I have them down,
yeah,
in a similar tier. Like I dropped Roki down into that tier. Mizierowski is kind of in that range as well, but obviously ascending. Burns is already kind of ascended past that tier. But like I have Painter right now around top 100 overall, and Bubba's dropped a little bit towards 150 right now for me, just because I'm concerned about his walk issues lately. But still think obviously he's a phenomenal talent, but yeah, if I was to, you know, trade, you know, like go back to that Brown deal, you know, I don't know if I would do like Brown plus Yuri and Painter. I don't know. I'm.
That's a lot of pitching.
Yeah, it's a lot of pitching. Probably not, but that's not terrible. I'd want a little bit higher than that. But I think Painter and Chandler could get up to the range where Jury is now for me. I don't think they can get up to the range where I think Jury could be in, you know, a year or two or long term. I don't think they have quite that upside. But you know, those are guys I think going to be like borderline aces for fantasy if everything clicks for them. Like, I think Perez could be like, you know, Cy Young caliber guy. That's kind of where I'm at with those guys.
Yeah, because I think a lot of people, whenever they hear about Painter or they hear about Chandler or insert whatever big time pitching prospect, I feel like a lot of people that don't follow this stuff, they don't know how to calibrate the levels to this stuff. Where I think whenever you had went through your tiers, it sounds like you would project Chandler as maybe an SP2/3, like on that borderline.
Yeah,
where he shows enough risk, you wouldn't just call him an SP2, but he can easily do it. There's just a little bit of risk. And with Painter, I mean, that's an interesting one because, I mean, I definitely see some frontline status potential. It's hard to put that label on it in a single pitcher. So, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Especially with just any prospect in general, mm-hmm. how risky they are. Plus, he's already been missing a lot of time already. Even if he is still only 22, he's already missed a lot of time for a 22-year-old, and then hopefully that's all behind him. And it was nice to see him out in Arizona last year when he pitched for Glendale. That was fun to see a few innings from him. He looked pretty good for a guy that was shaking off the rust. But yeah, obviously the upside is immense with those two. But yeah, with Yuri Perez, like, this is a guy that, you know, generational talent. We could be looking back as a, you know, in 20 years as a future Hall of Fame type player. I think that's where we're at with Yuri Perez. So I'd be more than willing to buy low anywhere I can, even if I'm a contending team. Like, this is a guy that I don't care what my contention window is. I want Yuri Perez on my team. Like, he transcends contention window, I think. I mean, obviously, yeah, it's fair. a little easier to do it if you're not contending. Sure, absolutely, I'll say that. But if I can get him for a good price right now, I mean, it'd be hard to say no to getting Yuri Perez on a deal that I thought was good. Even if I was in first, second place and pushing this year, you know, Yuri Perez is a guy that could really help me dominate pitching for a long time. So, yeah, love me some Yuri Perez if that wasn't abundantly clear. But all right, I think that's going to wrap us up. To recap the four sells, we had Trey Turner, Jacob Wilson, Hunter Brown, and Byron Buxton. The six buys, Colton Cowser, Augustine Ramirez, Otto Lopez, Matt McClain, Trevor Larnach, and Yuri Perez. Lucas, it was a lot of fun. Always good chatting baseball with you. Thanks for coming on, bud.
Absolutely, Eric. Thanks for having me.
And make sure you be following all of Lucas's stuff over on FTN. A lot of great content from him and the rest of the team over there. Again, find my stuff on Rotoballer or over on my Patreon, toolshipfantasy.com. I'll be back with you again later this week for another episode this week. But until then, everyone take care.
Breaking news, and this one is almost unbelievable.
Yeah, it's all about new customers at Bet365 because they get $150 in bonus bets when they bet $5, win or lose. And even better, bonus bets can be used on the spread, totals, and player props.
There you have it. Bet $5 to get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. And see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. T&Cs apply. Available in app only.
You have 5 new messages.
Hey, Carl, it's Jen from Finance. Could you submit your expenses this week?
Hey, Carl, happy Friday. It's Jen, Finance. Just need those receipts today.
Me again, Carl. Really need those receipts, like last week. Please just tell me where they are. Are you by your desk right now?
Finance teams, you shouldn't be chasing down Carl or anyone else. With Ramp, expenses are sent with a text and reminders happen automatically. Switch your business to ramp.com today and love finance again.